I did some voluntary work in Northampton for a while, just before lockdown. That all stopped, and here's dear Pat, who was I worked under Pat, making all the sarnies for the homeless people, and it's lovely to remember those days. I missed that so much when it all came to an end, and then lockdown happened, and I got to a place where I'm really struggling. So I looked at a few things to see what can I do to volunteer. Of course, I could earn some money by getting a job, but a bit lazy now. So I've been sort of looking at a number of different things. And Pete said to me, well, Reach is just here in Daventry. I said, Pete, I don't like paying, you know, when you to do voluntary work, you know, paying bus fares and what have you. So local will be brilliant. So Pete says, why don't you come and volunteer for where I go? And we've seen Pete, absolutely, I mean, the change in Pete from the days when he was just in a wheelchair, unable to move, to where now he's totally independent and walking with just his stick and his artificial leg. And Pete was saying about the help that he got from this place called Reach in Daventry. It's right by the football stadium there in Daventry. As you come into the first roundabout, as you come into Daventry, it's right there by the Shell Garage, those of you who know Daventry. Well, I marvel at the staff who are trained there and just watch them, how they understand the intricate workings of the body. You see, all my work days, I cared for the spiritual side of people. I prayed, I shared, I encouraged. Yes, I know a little about the spiritual side, but the physical side, I had no idea what was involved. They were sharing with me, for instance, when you get a stroke, do you know that it's the lack of the oxygen in the blood that causes the strokes, not in every case, but in that particular case. And your immediate reaction is to pull your body in. And that's why you left after a stroke, you know, either paralyzed on one side, wherever the stroke is, or the other side. And so what these guys do, these trained physiotherapists at Reach, they work on each person individually and to try and get the oxygen in the blood back to that place that's become now really crippled, so that movement again, natural movement, might be able to be reestablished. And I listen to them, you know, and they talk, of course, they lose me. They talk about the front lobe of the head and the back lobe of the head and where the messages are coming from. And I'm absolutely lost, but I'm just amazed at how understanding the body, how they're able to work on folk who are paraplegic, folk who have had accidents, folk who are crippled because of illness, and try and get movement again in those areas where they've lost movement. It's just wonderful to have that understanding in what you are doing. I thought of the centurion in Luke chapter 7 and verse 39. Now, the centurion, he was very good to the Jewish people. He built the temple for them. In the area where he was working. So this Roman centurion, this Roman soldier, actually showed much favor to the Jews. And his servant became ill. Now normally, you know, you don't bother so much about a servant, but not this centurion. He was really keen to see his servant healed. So he asked the Jewish leaders and the elders to please go and plead with Jesus to come and heal his servant. So the Jewish elders all go to Jesus and they say, please, this man is worth you coming over and healing his servant. He loves us. He's done this and he's done that for us in Jerusalem. And so Jesus was just so pleased to help. He's on his way to heal this man's servant. When this man thinks the whole thing through and he turns around, he says to his friends, please, can you go and tell Jesus, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. Why? Because I'm a man under authority. And because I'm under the Roman authority, I have authority over soldiers who are under me. I say to the soldier, go, and he goes. I say to that soldier, come, and he comes. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And I thought to myself, here's a man who understood what authority is. Yeah? Because he was submissive to those above him. He had authority over those who were under him. And he said, surely Jesus also, he has authority because he's God. Just say the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. And I thought to myself, you know, that's an understanding that we need to learn about God's word. When Jesus says something, it's absolutely secure. We can run with it and know that as he said it, it will happen. And so the little phrase that I took for this morning, Mary and them went to the tomb to embalm the body of Jesus. And they get there and the stones are rolled away. And of course they are really concerned about the stone, but it's rolled away. The tomb is all open. And they go towards the tomb when suddenly this angel stands there and he says, he's not here. He's risen. Go and tell his disciples. He is alive. He's risen. Just as he said. Just as he said. And do you know, that verse, that those words have really sort of penetrated my heart. This soldier knew about authority. And because he knew about authority, he knew the authority Jesus had. He knew Jesus didn't even have to come. Because of his authority, he had to just say the word and the servant would be healed. And I say, Lord, please. Give me that understanding as well, that I may understand your ways, that I may understand the power of your word in me, that God's word in me is as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. Let me say that again. God's word in me is as powerful as the word in God from God's mouth. In other words, if I repeat to Jesus, you said, Lord Jesus, you will never leave me nor forsake me. It's as powerful coming out of my mouth as it was coming out of Jesus' mouth. Yeah? So as we know the word of God working in us, so we are able to move in the Spirit of God. In signs and wonders, bringing glory and honor to God. Oh man, the Lord wants to work with us, and our faith sometimes is so crippled by unbelief. My prayer is that, like that centurion, we may understand God, his authority. That, like those trained staff at Reach in Daventry, who understand the workings of the body and try and again reestablish life in those limbs that have become almost numb, that we may understand the power of God at work in and through us. Hallelujah. So the first thing is the mystery of the empty tomb. The mystery of the empty tomb. He's not here. He is risen. That's what the angel's message was. But go and tell the disciples, he's alive, he's risen, just as he said. In other words, understand the word of God. When Jesus says something, it's as good as done. Hallelujah. It's as good as done. I confess that sometimes I really take hold of that. I live it and I see God active and at work in my life. And his word is like a double-edged sword, cutting asunder joints and marrow and dividing the thoughts of people's hearts. There's times when I've been able to just look at people and before they even spoke, understand some of the things that they're going through, the difficulties. The Lord wants us to work in and through him. He wants us to know what he's able to do, what he will do in and through us, if we're willing to understand and submit to him. You know, just a little aside, husband and wife almost act like that. Celia's English, I'm African. But you know, I've watched some of her reaction, and she will react just the way I will react. And I'm quite certain that there's a lot of things I say and do is what she would normally say and do. Now, if that is the relationship just between a husband and wife, imagine what our relationship with Father and his Son could be like. Where we are working so hand in hand, so in tune, that I respond as the Lord directs and leads. I've made some terrible mistakes. I remember in ministry, when the Lord laid somebody on my heart, in particular this dear man, I was passing his home, and I really felt deeply deep in my heart that I needed to visit him. So I thought, I'll just leave it for now. Tomorrow, you know, I needed to rush home quickly. I needed to do something at home. And that seemed more urgent at that point. I went home. That night, that member of the church that I was in passed away. And I could have spent just those moments with him before he went to be with Jesus. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've missed out in a lot of things. If only I could learn to let go and let God lead and guide me and control me. I've made so many mistakes with children, my own children as well, where I could be so much more help to them. I didn't listen to the Lord when I should have listened and did what I thought was best. He's not here. He's risen. We are a generation that have grown up and accepted now the tradition of the empty tomb. But imagine the ladies and the disciples that went to the tomb when they get there and find the tomb is empty. I mean, who had risen from the dead? Eh? No one before that, except Moses and who was it that Lazarus? Enoch was not, for God took him, yes. So there's one or two, but it speaks about when Jesus was praying in the garden. It says that Moses and Elijah, I think, came and spoke with him, and then of course he faced the his death and the cross after that. Now, Joseph of Arimathea came and got permission to bury Jesus, and of course sealed that tomb good and proper. The women who were following Jesus realized, and they knew, that there was a disciple, or rather a group of soldiers, watching over that tomb. That tomb was sealed, and there were people guarding that tomb so that nobody could get near there. And they get there, and the stone is rolled away. We've forgotten, you know, what a mystery the tomb was. But what did it mean? Or rather, the tomb. Jesus' words that he will rise on the third day. It just seemed empty. And the angel's word make no sense. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? It was senseless. And yet, this is exactly what happened. We must always seek Jesus, not as a Savior who has died. Wherever we are, whatever situation we are in, he's right there beside us. The angel who knew Jesus was alive could say, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. I've taken those words, you know, into my heart for this morning, and I want to hold on to those words. There you will see him just as he told you. So much Jesus has told us. If we can recall what he has said, you know, and use that in our prayer life, his words actually expressed back to Jesus. He'll stand by his word no matter what. He will perform his word no matter what the problem might be. The disciples were crippled with unbelief and lack of faith. Thomas even said, unless I put my finger in the nail prints of his hands and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. Lord, please help us. Help us to trust and believe, no matter what the circumstances. So often, I was told by one of our members, because I was praying, Lord, thy will be done. So whatever I'm praying for, healing or anything like that, Lord, thy will be done. God's will is to work in our lives for his glory. So instead of saying, Lord, thy will be done, Jesus wants us to pray for healing. He says, ask. Imagine your Savior said to you and to me, ask anything in my name, and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. You know, I hesitate to say that to any of my children. Ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. In case they ask something I can't afford. But that's what Jesus said to you and to me. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. So that's the mystery of the tomb. It was empty. It was empty. He was not there. He had already warned them. He told them, I will rise again on the third day. They should have known, but they didn't believe, and they found the tomb empty. The miracle of the empty tomb is this. The resurrection is the foundation of the gospel. If Jesus didn't rise, there is no gospel. It's the very foundation of all we stand and believe in. It's a guarantee of our acceptance before God, the Father. The resurrection seals the genuineness of Jesus' work on the cross as acceptable by God, the Father. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Imagine that. It was God, the Father, who there was no other way except through the death of one. In the Old Testament, God allowed the killing of a lamb and a goat, etc., etc. And that was offered to the Lord. But then God was set for a time. He said, the time will come when the Messiah will be with us. The time will come when the Messiah, the one who will save the whole world, and Jesus came. Yeah? Not on his own, sent by the Father. Salvation worked out by Daddy in heaven himself. Heaven himself. And there, the only way was sending his son. Oh, I don't know whether I could do that. The Father sent his son and he came and he lived among us. And we beheld his glory. And he died in your place and my place. He paid in full, once and for all, our sins, both past, present, and future. It's completed. Hallelujah. That's the power of the resurrection. He died there and he was put in the tomb. And only God, who's able to forgive, rose him again from the dead. Hallelujah. Hey, setting a seal in heaven that the resurrection is our guarantee of our salvation. God has done it through his son. Jesus, in love, paid your cost and my sin in total, past, present, and future. Hallelujah. I love that verse that says, I can't recall now where verses are from, but what is it? It says, he who began a good thing in us will complete it even to the end. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, I look at all my failings and all my faults, and I hang on to Jesus' words. He that began a good thing in us will complete it, even to the end. That's the miracle of the empty tomb. God, who's the only one who's able to forgive, rose his son again. Hallelujah. Conquering death once and for all. Victory has been won. And so we find Paul says this, I was delivered up from all our offenses. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this, he hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's done once and for all. Jesus did it. Because he's risen, because he's alive, he's able to help us in all our infirmities, in all our difficulties. There is nothing that's impossible. I love Paul's words. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know anything about mechanics, you know. But I had a problem with my daughter's car and I had to change the spring. And I took the spring off. But when I took the spring off, the shaft into the engine, the drive shaft, came right out. And of course, all the oil spilled all over the place. And it wasn't the normal shaft that you just push in. So a Ford, don't buy a Ford Focus. They are hard when those things come out. And I think I spent the whole day, and in the end my future son-in-law came. And he put it all together for me. And we finished it. But to understand how God works is the victory that the Christian has. And we will never understand unless we spend time with him and develop a close relationship with him. Father wants to be close to each one of us. Well, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. My calling came from Romans 14. Romans 10 verse 14. Romans 10 verse 14. I was still in Africa at home when these words burned in my heart. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe unless they have heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can one preach unless he is sent? And those beautiful words, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When I sit and think of the Sunday school teachers, the people that came from England here to Rhodesia in those days and ran what we call Joy, Joy, Joy. Every Saturday, Sunday morning, we went to Joy, Joy. And the gospel that they shared, that dear man playing his accordion and teaching us the choruses that we, even now, I still sing because they're still so encouraging to me. So many people have plowed so much into my life. And as you look at your life, how many in the past have contributed the things of God, the love of God, into your life and brought you to where you are. And Jesus says to you and to me, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Share the love of Jesus to every creation, every creature. How can we hold back when we've received so much? Well, just in closing, the meaning of the empty tomb. The resurrection is the guarantee of our salvation, the confidence that we need to have in God's faithfulness. As he says it, he will do it. Whatever he says, it's as good as done. Hallelujah. I remember I failed here in the Methodist College, Cliff College, all the local preachers' exams. And the comments, I will not share with you because they were not encouraging, very discouraging. I went and I worked in a children's home on Dartmoor for a year. 8 months, felt like a year, but anyhow. And there I prayed and asked the Lord, please, Lord, lead and guide me. Show me what to do next. The door was completely shut into ministry. And God kept giving me that verse. How can they hear without a preacher? And I said, Lord, here am I. Take me, use me. On my way down to this children's home on Dartmoor from Cliff College in Sheffield, we passed the Baptist College. So that was the only college that I knew. So I applied. I'm a Methodist. I applied to this Baptist college. And Bristol Baptist College opened the doors wide for me. And I trained there. Hallelujah. You know that just before I went in, they suddenly realized I wasn't a Baptist. And so they said, please, can you join a church immediately? The trouble is, I was working in a children's home. And I was a house father to 18 young boys in this children's home. And so I was with them all the time, 24/7. And I couldn't go to church. And I explained this to the minister there. And he was very happy to have me brought into membership because of the college requiring that. I became a member of Bovey Tracy Baptist Church. I must go and thank them. I don't think they know what a big difference they made in my life. I don't think they know. But that's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. We need each other so much. Love always finds a way of finding expression. Did you know that? I thought of that lady. The lady, Mary Magdalene had seven demons in her, and she in Luke 7, In Luke 7, verse 37 to 38, it wasn't Mary Magdalene, it's just called a sinful woman, watched Jesus reclining at the table of a Pharisee's home, dinner table. He had been invited. I don't know what prompted this dear lady, but I can imagine her standing in the background as she looked at Jesus sitting there and noticing that the normal traditions of washing his feet so that he might be comfortable at the table, because they wore sandals. And you don't walk around, in sandals and bare feet, except Norman. But we from home in Africa, we walk in. You've got a lot of sweat glands around your the top of your of your foot. You've got the hard skin underneath, and just above that, there's a lot of sweat glands. Well, the dust collects on that as you walk barefoot or with sandals. And of course, in Africa, to be comfortable and to be, clean like others, it was a tradition for them to be provided with water to wash their hands and water to have their feet washed. But nothing was offered to Jesus. And I can imagine this dear lady walking up to Jesus and standing by him. And the Bible says that she wept. She was weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped it with her hair. Love always finds a way of expression. I was called one day, one of my deacons came to me, said, please, can you, Pastor, come with me? There's a friend of mine that he really needs some help. So I went to the, went with him. When he didn't tell me along the way, we were talking about something else, what was going on. We got to the house, and the lady and the husband were asleep. I'm terribly sorry. I am so sorry. The lady and her husband were asleep. Anyhow, the lady came down and she said, "We'll be down right now." My deacon said to me, "Pastor, they've just lost their son last night. He was stabbed while he was waiting at the bus stop, and died before he even got to the hospital." And I was so shocked by what I was told, in this person's home. The lady came down, and then the husband came down, and I did not know what to say. I was speechless. And then I remembered this lady washing Jesus' feet. I went into her kitchen, found a bowl, put water in it, and I came through. And I began to wash the lady's feet, the mother. And after that, I washed the husband's feet. And that just brought us to that place where we were able just to be open and heart to heart, shared and encouraged one another. Love always finds a way to express itself. And this is what the Lord wants of us, a love, a relationship with us that is able to express his love through us. My love ends, it's so short, but the Lord's love is unending. I want to love, not with my love, my human love, but with God's love that knows no end. I want you just to listen to these words. And may the words, I've got a Bible here, everything from Jesus' mouth is written in red. And I encourage you to mark the words of Jesus and maybe just memorize them. so that when we pray, we can actually pray the words of Jesus. His word in my mouth is as powerful as his word in his mouth. I believe that. And now some folk are just going to read to us quickly some words of Jesus, the I am sayings. Thank you very, very much. Father, oh Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, oh Jesus, help us not to be crippled with unbelief, overwhelmed by problems that we face. Help us, Lord, to believe and to trust, knowing this, that your word in my mouth is as powerful as your word in your mouth. Help me to speak the words of Jesus, to sing the words of Jesus, and to love, believe, and trust the words of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.